Hello, everyone. Welcome to our conference call today. This is Kurt Mortensen. We talk about persuasion, motivation, influence. You name it. We do it. We talk about it, even self-persuasion. Just give you a few tools today to help you out on the road today. So we keep it short and sweet. Make sure you have a couple tools to apply and use. And, of course, take any questions. It's all done via the net. A lot of you doing Skype, you're doing replay, that's okay. Some of you are live. Whatever will work. And I'm glad to have you here. Now, let's talk about some things that will help you out. Let's get to some of the laws of persuasion. I want to talk about just a basic concept here that people don't even think about sometimes within the world of persuasion. It's one of the laws, but I want to get in a little deeper. It's the impact of suggestion, the law of expectations. So where what you expect with confidence is going to happen for the most part. If I hand you a pen with the contract, increases the chances you're going to sign it. If I say thanks in advance on the bottom of your email, it increases the chance that you're going to do it. If I wipe my feet expecting to get into your home, better chances, doesn't guarantee that I'm going to get in your home. So expectations is important, the visualization, the presupposition, how you talk about it. Because if your prospect can't see it, taste it, touch it, feel it, it's not going to matter. So inner city kids, they weren't going to college. Everyone says, go to college. You weren't going to go to college. Why won't they go to college? What's college? They don't know what college is. Well, let's take them to college. They meet another student, and all of a sudden, they know what college is, and they go to college. You know, the expectation they're going to go is enough is great, but they also need to be able to see it, taste it, touch it, feel it, visualize, know what it even means to go to college. And that's expectations. That's very important. The power of the placebo. You know, sugar pills work almost, a lot of times, more than the actual pill itself. That's how powerful our mind is, the expectations there, and that we communicate that with our voice and our body language and our the words that we use. You know, if you're doing a performance evaluation and or you're asking someone to do something and you know they probably can't, that is communicated. And you have to be very careful with that. We have to expect with confidence. We have to feel influential. Study shows that the more influential you feel, the more influential you are. Pretty simple. That's part of expectations. Because when you look at the big picture and the human emotions, frustration, human emotion, comes from unmet expectations, either spoken or unspoken. And that is a powerful thing. And you have to realize frustration can quickly turn to anger. And that's powerful. Someone just asked me a question that said, Kurt, how do you make yourself feel more influential? Well, good question. That's probably another class. But let me give you some basics. When you expect to seal the deal, when you expect to win the negotiation, when you expect to have a good presentation, when you expect people to buy, that changes your demeanor. So that's the expectations. And part of that is your visualization, how you see yourself. You know, to train people to do presentations, to be public speakers, it's interesting how they're programmed. You have to remember, and put this in your notes, TEA is that your thoughts control your emotions control your actions. So when most people get ready to speak, they're like, oh, what if I bore? What if I forget my notes? What if this doesn't work? What if they don't like me? What if they don't laugh? What if I get heckled? What if I look stupid? Well, ding, ding, you will. You got to visualize it. Because you have to take an Olympic athlete or an NFL quarterback, when they take the field, they're not thinking, oh, what if I blow it? What if nobody catches the ball? What if we lose? What if I get booed? No, they're seeing it. They're visualizing it. And they're seeing throwing the winning touchdown. That's what makes the biggest difference. That's why they're professionals. And you need to be professional, too. Because if you're stuck on worry, if you're stuck on fear, what that means is your vision's not strong enough. Excuse me. So you have to spend some time visualizing it, thinking it through, being prepared. When you're prepared, you feel more influential. When you're prepared, the fear goes away. And that's all part of those expectations and feeling influential. So kind of a tangent, but a really good question. I want to make sure that I answered it. Another question here with Kurt, I study NLP. Does expectations have anything to do with presuppositions? Yes, it does. Embedded Commands is NLP. NLP, if you don't know, is neuro-linguistic programming. And we have a lot of time to go into embedded commands. Maybe we can talk a little bit about it. But presuppositions is just like the word. It's a big word, but it's an easy word. So it's presupposing. Hey, you're going to love how this car handles in the mountains. Presupposing, helping them visualize that it's going to happen. Oh, I'm showing somebody home. Well, where are we going to put the grand piano? Presupposing they're buying the house. Where are we going to put the piano? Where are we going to put the play set? Where are you going to do this? Hey, kids, go pick out your room. Presupposing they're going to buy. So when you're talking that they're going to be on the committee, they're going to buy the car, they're going to do this, it's already happening. They can see this I'm doing, and it's easier for them to say yes. It's called presupposition. Do you want it shipped by regular mail, or do you want a Wednesday or Thursday? You know, presupposing, giving them options that it's already done. You know, when you're using the software, when you are exposed to the training, when you know it's already done, already done, already done, and that's expectations, because expectations do influence reality. Could be positive, could be negative. That was one of the questions: is are there negative expectations? Well, yeah, we see that with our kids sometimes, with teachers who don't expect much. In fact, we did study with school teachers, and two teachers of equal talent, two classes of equal IQ, and one teacher said, whatever, you didn't get a very good class this year, just do what you can, versus the other teacher, wow, probably the smartest class ever put together, real go-getters, let them run. And, of course, very different results. So it could be positive, it could be negative. And those expectations could be communicated by a glance, body movement, eye contact, the names you use, tone of voice, avoidance, those type of things can communicate those expectations. And, you know, it's just reality. I mean, the expectation of having a coupon, well, I'm going to save money. But there's this coupon, it was actually a tire coupon that had a mistake on it. It actually cost people more to use it, but it had the same response rate. Here's a fun one done at Harvard. Ready? Yeah, so they gave these students rats. And there's, of course, you have to have a rat. You have to have a maze. So they have these mazes. And they were going to time the smart rats and time the dumb rats. Okay, the rats, number one, and number two, it was the same batch. But the fast rats got dramatically higher, faster times than the dumb rats, based on the expectations, just like with placebos. Placebos work all the time. During the Korean War, they ran out of morphine. And this gets interesting. And when the nurse gave this placebo, said, I'm going to give you some morphine. It worked very well. Well, the doctor gave it. It didn't work very well. I'm like, what's going on? Well, here's why. The nurse didn't know it was a placebo, and the doctor did. We communicate these things in our body language as far as what's happening. In fact, a funny story. I was sitting on the couch, just rubbing my head, watching a little TV, and my wife said, what's going on? What's wrong? I'm like, my head's just knocking. It hurts. You want some aspirin? I'm like, well, sure. She came down, took my two white pills, headache went away, and I went up later to the bathroom and noticed a bottle of laxatives. Headache came back and other things started to happen, but that's the power of a placebo. That's an expectation. They even took IBS people that had those symptoms and gave them a pill. It said, look, here's a placebo. And it said right on the pill, it was printed, placebo. It'll help you with your symptoms. Let them know that it was a placebo, and it worked. Even when they knew it was a placebo, it worked and had different effects. Even based expectations on a speaker. So a speaker's going to come speak to a group of college students, and the first batch, you say, oh, this speaker's cold, industrious, practical, and determined. In the second half, they said, oh, this speaker's warm, industrious, practical, and determined. There's only one word difference, but that one word, that we call priming, changed their whole perception of the speaker. So that's a part of expectations, that's part of priming. For example, let me give you a better example of priming. A question that's popped up about what explained priming. Here it is. It's their study. I always follow up with a study. College students come to take a math test. And they made it really easy for these students to cheat. They could cheat, and they knew they wouldn't get caught. First half, they said, hey, can you recall 10 books you read in high school? They'd write them down. And the other half, they'd say, hey, can you recall 10 books out of the Bible? Priming them, cheating, religion, Bible, spirituality. Anyway, the ones that did the Bible were not like did not cheat nearly as much as the one that recalled books from the high school. So that gets pretty interesting as you go through that. So that's what the expectations are all about. That's what you need to do. You know, with kids, whatever it is, when they're labeled slow learner, stupid, ADD, that becomes an expectation to them. Someone asked me a question about ages and expectations. Now, a lot of studies with kids, but it works all the way through. One thing that is different with children, for example, is the magic age is around first grade. Most of you don't realize that when someone's in first, second grade, you know, that range, and they're told something about themselves, slow, weird, strange, dumb, ADD, whatever it is. It could be positive or negative, smart, exciting. That becomes an instant belief to that young person because they don't have the mental or cognitive abilities to refute that. So a lot of the damage we have as adults all comes back to first grade, things that we just automatically believed. And that's why the school system could be a great thing for kids or it could be a terrible thing, especially at that critical age. And that's where the expectations come in. For example, I think it was a fifth grade class that they handed out candy with wrappers. It was a hard piece of candy. They put the candy in their mouth and threw the wrapper on the floor, and they just went around and counted the wrappers on the floor. Pretty simple. Then teacher says, you know what? I think the next day teacher says, I think you're the cleanest class I've ever had. Thanks for being a clean class. Vice principal comes in, hey, I heard you guys were the clean class. I really appreciate it. Thanks a lot. Custodian writes on the board, hey, thanks for making my job easier. Thanks for being the cleanest class in the school. Ding, ding, hello. Of course, they had out candy again a couple weeks later, and it made a big difference in the number of wrappers that were on the floor. That is expectations. Someone just asked me a question as far as, Kirk, can you give us another example of priming? Okay, I can do that. This one you'll have to visualize with me. So priming also, pretty much what's in front is going to prime other people. So if I showed you a problem, I showed you a math problem, 1 times 2 times 3 times 4 times 5 times 6 times 7 times 8, right? I said, quickly estimate what that number is. And most people estimated, it was really low, it was like 480. I don't have the exact numbers in front of me. The other group was shown the number, the problem, 8 times 7 times 6 times 5 times 4 times 3 times 2 times 1. Okay, it's the same problem, but you started with the 8 in front instead of the 1. That's priming it. Had people quickly estimate it, and it was like 2,000. So it went from 400 to 2,000. Of course, that's not even close to the real answer, but that was a big difference. Same numbers, just a different order, right? There was also a study done on a military base that was training combat soldiers. So they had two groups of soldiers, and they were all equal, randomly selected into three groups, right? Now, these groups were assigned three different type of instructors. One was high expectancy, regular expectancy, and just kind of a standard. And the ones that had the high expectations, you were going to do it, you're going to make it, we're expecting for them better, they scored higher. They were more positive, had better attitudes, because, you know, we've all had those people that just expected so much and pulled it out of us. Here's another one, priming. So that group of students were shown words, polite words, respect, courteous, considerate, patient, polite, and then went to the next room to complete a second task, and there was the experimenter with another student trying to explain the task. Person couldn't understand. They wanted to see when this student would interrupt, the one that just saw all the rude words. And the group that was primed with the rude words waited about 5 minutes. I mean, just finish it up. So half of one saw the rude words, and the other half saw courteous words, right? Polite words. So the rude words that were primed with that, around 5 minutes before they interrupted, but those that were primed with the polite words rated around at 9 minutes, because that's a 4-minute difference. So hopefully that helps to you. You have expectations based on your reputation. And I love what Winston Churchill said. He said something interesting. He says, Yeah, I've found the best way to get another to acquire virtue is to impute it to them. You're the honest person. You're the one with the best one. You're the expert here. I understand that you are the one that'll make this happen. We even see police officers do that. Hey, you have a reputation. I know you're a tough guy, but you have a reputation for always telling the truth and being honest. That would do it, too. And it was Johann Wolfgang Van Gogh that said, treat a man as he appears to be and you make him worse. But treat a man as if he already were what he potentially could be and you make him what he should be. Those expectations are powerful things that will really help you out. Even the expectations of the environment. Have you ever gone to a restaurant and felt guilty for not ordering a drink? That was based on the expectation. You go to a store and you feel guilty for not buying something. That is expectation. They did a study, and they don't do this very anymore because it can cause some damage. So they were going to this prison environment. This was done by Zimbardo, I believe it was. So they were doing a study for 2 weeks. They were going to do a prison study. That's all they knew. So half the people that showed up were guards, and the other half were inmates. And it was amazing. Just that expectation, what happened is the people that were in charge, and everyone was psychologically sound before this study, they became more hostile and crude and rebellious and abusive. And some became hysterical and mostly distressed. Again, it was supposed to last for 2 weeks. They called it after 6 days because people were just freaking out. Just a question here. Let me get it real fast. As far as, Kurt, is this like the broken window theory you mentioned in Maximum Influence? Yes, good call. It is. It's broken window theory. We call it the dirty sock theory, I guess. Everyone's probably seen an abandoned factory, and it looks fine, but then one window gets broken, and another window gets broken, and if two or three are broken, it's easier to get more and more and more broken. That's why they call it the broken window theory. They actually did this with the car. They just sat the car out there for a couple weeks. Nothing happened to it. This was in Stanford. But then broke the window on the outside. It was amazing. And all of a sudden, the light was broken, and something else was broken, and something else was broken. The dirty socks, once there's a couple pieces of clothes on the floor, it's easy to put more and more and more. Same with dishes. That's all part of that. That's all part of environment. And, we communicate it with our language, our voice, and our body, and it makes a difference. Another thing you can do with that, as we talk about it, got a question here. It says, Kurt, you mentioned embedded commands. Can you explain that? No. I'll explain it. It's probably a thing to keep for a full call, but let me just kind of explain. What an embedded command is it's something really short and concise, and it bypasses your conscious mind, goes rightly to your subconscious mind. Have a Pepsi day. The embedded command is have a Pepsi, right? By now you realize the embedded command is, well, by now. And you see this all the time on the internet. When things are italicized or bolded or underlined or highlighted, use a different color, it really stands up to our subconscious mind, and it makes a difference. And we can use this in a bad way, okay? Don't run in the street. Embedded commands run in the street. Don't be dumb. Don't drive crazy. Versus you say, hey, stay on the sidewalk has a much better effect on kids than don't run in the street because of the embedded command. And it can be short, getting italicized. You can say things like, you're going to feel good and act now, learn how, learn quickly, follow my lead, can all be embedded commands. It's all part of expectations and how they're set up. But I want you to work on and really think about is your personal expectations. Attitude comes from your expectations. Are you a chameleon absorbing the attitudes of others, or do you expect to have a successful day? Do you expect to be successful? Do you expect to be influential? Do you expect to seal the deal? Do you expect to be wealthy and financially independent? I want you to work on your own expectations because those are transmitted through you in your presentation, whether it's face-to-face or over the phone. So you have the expectations you create in others, but I want you to work on your own personal expectations. Then you can work on some of these other expectations. Final question here says, are you going to post? I'll post the audio. Yeah, we do that to whywhypersuasion.com. That's also a spot to answer questions. That's where we do it. But think about that. Your own personal expectations, your own self-persuasion, your own mindset, is something that you need to focus on this week. With that, everyone, have an incredible week, and we'll talk to you soon.